Good morning and welcome once again to InFocus. I'm John Sims, and joining us this morning, Suzette Farr. Suzette is the Vice President of Community Engagement for Mentoring Alliance, up until very recently known as the Mentoring Alliance, and we'll go through all of that and so many, many other things as we do the show this morning. But Suzette, we've done a lot with Mentoring Alliance over the years, going back to its castle days in the late 80s and early 90s. Always great to have someone, and this time you, come back and share what's going on at Mentoring Alliance.
Absolutely. Well, I'm grateful to be here. Thanks for having us.
Sure thing. Don't forget, InFocus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/InFocus. InFocus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Suzette, I've been here a long time. I've been in Tyler 31 years.
Okay.
And your history in Tyler goes back not quite that far, but a good ways as well, as we found out this morning before we went to air. So I can tell you from my own personal standpoint that I remember back the castle days.
Yes.
The building, the old First Christian Church in downtown Tyler. Gary and Brenda Hawley were in charge of it back then. It evolved over the years, Boys and Girls Club, and now it is Mentoring Alliance, and in its third location. So you have a very rich and colorful history, but tell us about what Mentoring Alliance is basically all about these days. Who you are, what you do, just in thumbnail form.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are we exist to mobilize godly people into the lives of children and families in order to provide tangible help and eternal hope. That's our mission there. And so we are committed to mobilizing and encouraging people to come alongside us and walk alongside the lives of children, whether it be through our three programs, our mentoring one-on-one program, our after-school program, or our summer camp programs.
Mm-hmm. And there's been quite a bit of rebranding. It's the same basic programs that you have had for quite a while now. You just recently changed some names, and we'll go through all that as we go through the show. Now, you're also located right across from Bergfeld Center in an old bank building.
You
moved in there, I believe, about a year ago.
Yes,
yeah.
We did. So that was the BBVA building at the time when we moved in. And so after much renovations and reconstructions in that, we are there, and we have been there a little over a year. And it's definitely a more centralized location for us within the city. And our hope is that it will encourage us and be able to help us expand our reach and our message to minister to more of people here in East Texas, specifically in Tyler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you will be the building, the old First Christian Church building, I'll call it, was your first home. And then on to North Tyler, a location that's now being used by a private school that was formerly housed in a North Tyler church.
Absolutely.
And basically you moved away from there to have that more centralized location. And because you kind of went through an evolution, I understand that your programs were starting to become more based off-site, so you didn't really need that space anymore.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we went from really having kids kind of there on site, like a traditional Boys and Girls Club, to being able to grow and develop in our partnership with school districts, where now our programs happen on site within school districts in Tyler ISD, White House ISD, and Buller ISD.
And going from the castle, which was a youth ministry, largely gang focused back in the early days, on to becoming the Boys and Girls Club. The Boys and Girls Club is now part of what you do, and that is where the Mentoring Alliance name change came into play a few years back, if I remember correctly, with Kevin East as your executive director.
Yes, so Kevin East came on about 7 years ago, and in 2015, what was just the Boys and Girls Club was then turned into the Mentoring Alliance and our three programs involved that came with that.
All righty. Well, that kind of gets us up to date on the history of it, so we know where you're located.
Yes.
Right, basically the BBVA building right across from Bergfeld Center. Phone number, 903-593-9211. That's funny. I remember that. That's the same phone number you had when you were the castle. Some things never change.
We've carried that with us for sure.
Yeah, and the website is TheMentoringAlliance.com.
Yes.
TheMentoringAlliance.com. Lots of information on there, things that we don't have a chance to get into in maybe a whole lot of detail today. You can find out from accessing the information on there. Before we go into exactly what you do, I'm interested. I've shared a little bit of my story. What's your story? You only started working for the Mentoring Alliance, at least in your current position.
Yes, just in March.
Just in March. But you go back a pretty good ways when you were going to TJC, and you started, your first connection was in 2005.
It was in 2005, yes. When I first came to TJC, I had roommates who all worked at the Castle in the BGC program and for many years. And then one has gone on and actually become the director of the Boys and Girls Club program in Corsicana. And then actually one of the other ones, her children participate in Boys and Girls Club. And my kids get participate in the Mentoring Alliance after school program as well as our summer camp. So we're all very much so still connected from what happened in our roots when we got here back in 2005.
That is very interesting. We are talking to Suzette Farr with Mentoring Alliance. She's Vice President of Community Engagement. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. Now let's get into the meat of it. You have three basic programs, and we'll start off with the first one on the list that you graciously gave me. This is called Mentor Connect. And if you're wondering, what's that? And what happened to Gospel Village? Well, that's the new name for Gospel Village. You feel like the rebranding is a good move? It's going to help you get the word out better, serve
Absolutely.
The kids and families better?
Our rebranding will allow us to begin to expand our ministry and our organization beyond just East Texas and be able to kind of take those names further as we are looking to start embarking into new communities throughout Texas, possibly Oklahoma and Arkansas. So this will help us be able to carry forward in that. And so in particularly when we knew we had to rebrand Rose City Summer Camps, because we can't carry that into new potential markets,
right,
it made sense to kind of go from a house of brands to a branded house. And so this will allow us to continue to spread our message with ease. And I think Mentor Connect speaks for itself. It really tells people exactly what the program will be.
Briefly, how much can you tell us about these moves that you're making? Is that something that is just kind of in the early stages and you'll know more about further on down the line? It sounds pretty exciting one way or the other.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, we shared last year just a little bit in our impact report about our deep and wide and kind of our strategic plan of different markets of where we're wanting to go. We began to make some connections in Waco and just having those conversations and just being prayerful and leaning on God's wisdom to tell us, you know, is that the next best market for us to go into? But we have began those conversations and those relationships building just there. So that could very well be our next stop.
Okay, well, we'll keep our ears to the ground on that, and I'm sure you'll let us know when
Absolutely.
The time comes for the next big announcement. The importance of mentoring and the impact it has on both families, and
yes.
we are talking to families here. Let's just discuss that, how it works, and how it's a win-win for everybody concerned.
Absolutely. So the Mentor Connect program, it's an impactful mentoring ministry that connects godly mentors from churches mostly with children in a mutually transforming relationship. So as we like to say, you receive one child mentored, two families impacted, because they both are going to learn so much about each other and the walks through life in that. And being able to be a mentor, you're able to walk alongside a child and you'll learn so much from that child and their family, as well as they'll learn from you as you get to have the opportunity to be able to share life and just the love of Christ and share the gospel with them through this program.
So it has an impact on the family of the child and on the family of the mentor. And that's
Absolutely.
Where the both families
yes.
aspect comes in. Very interesting. Let's talk about how to get involved and talk some, too, about what we're looking at. If somebody decides to become a mentor or
yeah.
shows an interest in being a mentor, what that person will be actually doing to make that process happen the way it needs to happen.
Absolutely. So if someone wanted to connect with us to become a mentor and they're just interested about learning a little bit more, we actually offer these 30-minute what we call Spark sessions, where through the Spark session, you kind of get this high-level overview of what the program is, what the requirements are in that as far as how often we encourage our mentors to be connected to our mentees and what that looks like. And so we offer several of those, about 2 to 3 a month of those Spark sessions in a group session. But of course, we're also accommodating to those who can't make it necessarily on those days, but would like to get a little bit more. So we started off with Spark, just a 30-minute quick session of just giving you kind of this overview. And then from there, you move into the training if you believe that this is truly something you've been compelled and called to do.
Mm-hmm. And once the mentoring process starts, once the mentor and the mentee have been connected, draw a picture for us, if you would, about what that looks like. Do they get together for lunch or sit and talk quietly to each other, or a combination of that and more? How does it work?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, well, it starts with what we like to call the match party. And the match party is when they first meet and the families get to meet each other. It's such a joyous and great time during that time when they first kind of get to interact and learn just a little bit more about each other. And so from there, you know, a mentoring relationship could look like just touch bases of, hey, I'm going to come and eat lunch with you at school. I know right now during COVID, that might be a little permitted and prohibited, that they don't want those things to happen. But that could be, hey, let's get together this weekend and just go have pizza and let's just talk. Or maybe it's making, doing crafts or things like that, crafts and artwork, if that's what your mentee is involved in. Sometimes it's just sitting in silence and really just listening to each other and listening to that child, taking them through whether you would like to invite them or their families to church or maybe go visit their church. Mm-hmm. It's really can look all different ways. I mean, and it goes with them beyond just elementary. I mean, we're matching students that are already in high school with mentors. So this could be, you know, walking through with them. And I mean, we have mentors who create and do the moms for their girls, for their mentees, mm-hmm. every single year. So it's really just whatever works well with you and your mentee as you get to learn each other and explore and just learn more about them.
Mm-hmm. Suzette Farr is with us this morning. Suzette, Vice President of Community Engagement for Mentoring Alliance. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. And you mentioned COVID-19, and all through the course of this show and for every show we've done since March, and every show we're going to be doing for a while, it looks like, unfortunately, went to make sure that everybody who's listening understands that proper considerations are being made by your ministry for COVID-19. You're taking care about all the things, hand washing, social distancing, having hand sanitizer handy, masking up, things that people will be, I'm sure, briefed on once they get involved with any process that you have that we're going to be talking about today.
Absolutely. We definitely have our top 5 safety procedures and different things in place. You know, during our summer camp, that's kind of the time we had 8 weeks of summer camp this summer, and it just kind of morphed where we're currently kind of in that flexibility, I like to call it, that Gumby stage of just back and forth with whatever the CDC came out with, and leaning strongly with our medical director, Dr. Lawrence, and just making sure we were able to understand the importance of contact tracing, the importance of wearing a mask, the importance of social distance, mm-hmm. keeping children in cohorts so that we're able to drill down if someone was to get sick. We know exactly where it came from, and, you know, and we don't have to necessarily quarantine an entire campus or shut down an entire campus. Like, we could just narrow that down to just those quarantines. And even in our after school programs, keeping them in small groups, our staff always wearing masks. We definitely are citing, as we go through our after school programs and leaning into what the school districts have decided is best for their children and that, and we're enforcing those rules. But all of our staff are masked up, hand sanitizing, hand washing, social distancing consistently.
Mm-hmm. What's the age range for the Mentor Connect program?
So the Mentor Connect program, children can start in that program in second grade, and you kind of walk with them all the way up through graduation. But I will tell you that many of our connections don't stop there. They stop there within our program, but many of those mentors and mentees have walked alongside each other for so long that they continue those on beyond graduation.
Mm-hmm. That's great to hear. The Mentoring Alliance after school program for 2020 2020 and 2021, and that's the one that you do in affiliation with the Boys and Girls Club, long time, an agency that's been associated with you for many, many years. Mm-hmm. I understand after-school care being provided now at 19 school sites this year. This is throughout Tyler, White House, and the Bullard ISDs, right?
Absolutely,
Okay, well, tell us a little bit about that, and registration started early in August, and it is still open, and financial assistance is available to those families that have needs, so you can still sign up.
Absolutely.
If somebody wants to be involved with that, let's get started there. How does the whole thing work from start to finish?
Start to finish. So you have one or two ways of being able to register. You can call our office and register there and talk to one of our registrars, and they can get you registered over the phone. You can also go online at www.thementoringalliance.com and just click on After school care is what you're interested in, and it'll take you through the program of registration. In that registration, if you need financial assistance or scholarships, you can select that, and someone will call and follow up with you to let you know what the information we need from you to be able to do that. And really, once you do that, you have your registration fee, your first week of camp or first week of school and registration for after school, and then you just move right through into being able to allow your student to just go to the Boys and Girls Club or Mentoring Alliance after school program after school. So they never leave their campus. They're always there. And then you have until 6 p.m. to come and pick them up each afternoon.
Okay. What happens? Okay. Let's just say 3 o'clock. I don't know what times all the different schools close down during the day. Let's just between around 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock. What is happening during these after school sessions?
Okay. So they have time where they focus on their homework and getting their homeworks completed. These children are receiving a light snack or dinner in their bellies while they're there. They have time where they're able to do Bible study and socialize with friends and learn more about God during that time. They play games. They're able to kind of have some one-on-one hang time and just getting to engage with our mentors and just talk about life and their day and their school, and someone's there listening, caring, and pouring into them during that time. And so it's not so much a child care, if you will, type of program. It truly is. There's different things with intention going on for your children to learn.
Mm-hmm. Suzette Farr, Vice President of Community Engagement for Mentoring Alliance in Tyler, and expanding well beyond that, actually, and already expanded, but expanding even more in the coming months and years, which we discussed earlier in the show. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. If you want to get in touch with Mentoring Alliance, the number is 903-593-9211, or you can go, and I think should go, if you want to learn more, to the website, www.thementoringalliance.com. And the Mentoring Alliance Summer Camp. This was formerly known as Rose City Summer Camps, and we talked earlier about the reasons for that rebranding as you look at expanding possibly even out of state with your programs. It seems like only yesterday you were making the big announcement that you would be going ahead with your summer camps this year. Now it's over. School's back in, or will be back in pretty soon for just about everybody. How did it go? You had 4 sites this year instead of 2 sites, so you were actually able to expand beyond your previous offerings in spite of the coronavirus?
In spite of coronavirus, we were able to continue to offer 8 weeks. So usually we would offer 10 weeks of camp. This year we offered 8 full weeks of camp, and we were able to service more than 1,035 students. That's unique students. So some of those students may have been signed up for 8 weeks, 7 weeks, 6 weeks, 5 weeks. It just kind of depends on what worked for their families, as you're able to do it week by week. And so during that time, we were still able to do many of our things like inflatables and water activities, our Bible studies, our prayer times, our one-on-one times, our academic time, partnering with educators to come inside. So actual teachers coming in and working with our students on their academics, because a big part of our summer camp program is to help reduce that summer slide that children tend to have, especially many of our children who are at risk. And this summer was actually a summer that was truly a God thing, where of that 1,035 plus students that we were able to serve, more than 70% of those students received scholarships or financial assistance of some kind.
That's amazing. And you know, you do this every year, and you work with so many at-risk children. And I've even heard it said, an old friend of mine who did a show with me many years ago, as a matter of fact, worked in one of the other school districts in East Texas, said, you know, all children are at risk.
It's true. It's
so
true.
I think you kind of have to keep that in mind. And this year, especially with all the uncertainties, still so many kids struggling, kids who have limited or no computer access.
Absolutely.
Seems like it was doubly important this summer for you to really take the bull by the horns on that.
Absolutely. And we did. I mean, there we made sure that we were able to address those different issues academically, but we also were there to provide what was needed for social, emotional states of children and just many children being out since spring break, since March, you know, over 5 months since they went back into a school building, being able to go to our summer camp programs this year really provided them that time to get to be with friends again, to feel a little sense of normalcy in the height of everything that was going on, a pandemic, so much, you know, racial and cultural unrest. We were able to kind of give them this refuge where they were able to just focus on being children and being loved on and being shared the gospel with. And so it was really great for us to be able to do that and address so many of those academic things where the way that we look at it is at risk is not this badge of dishonor in our children.
Yeah.
We honor each and every one of our families and just really wanted to be able to provide them with the resources and needs that they had this summer.
Okay. At the risk of having already covered this topic pretty intensely, I think maybe there are some other things you can add. Anything else that you would really like to share about a recap of the impact that summer camp had on the lives of children this summer? And I mean, you know, we talked about what they did, but let's go into the impact a little bit more if we could.
Yes. I mean, we had families reaching out to us. We had parents reaching out and just saying them being able to have their children there for all 8 weeks truly helped and imparted so much into the lives of their children. One mom in particular, her name was Jamie, and she had two boys that were there in our program, and her boys were coming home and sharing scripture with her that she'd never even heard before. And they were talking about how their counselors really would sit down and have one-on-one conversations with them, talk to them about being young men, talk to them about what it was going to be like moving into school again and just being able to go there with their heads held high and be able to feel confident that, you know, you aren't going to go in there and say, I didn't get to read at any part during the summer, but truly received different things that they needed that was their social and emotional state, their mental health, but their physical health because they were getting food and lunches and snacks every single day in our programs. But also for that mom not to have to worry about making a decision of, do I go to work or do I leave my children at home alone? And her being, and us being able to provide scholarships through the partnerships that we have many with many of our churches and different business partners here, we were able to get them in at a rate that was great for her. And these children were able to leave out with a sense of boldness that they felt like they had a summer. And it wasn't just, I sat at home in front of a television and that was it.
Mm-hmm. Many children, you tell us, accepted Christ as their Savior during the summer.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we had, during the summertime, we had upwards of 16 or more students that accepted Christ into their heart during their time there at the summer camp, which was amazing just to see those salvational stories open up. I mean, we had from young boys, Levi, to young girls, Natalie. We had so many that just didn't know about Christ. And one of the stories I recently learned about on yesterday was one of the little girls who was a third grader went home and talked to her entire family, even her sisters who were in high school, about herself accepting Christ and salvation. And that led her high school sister to go and want to do the same thing and learn more and actually accept Christ and salvation through her third grade sister. And so it's all about planting those seeds and continuing to see the fruit of God just continue to grow and us be able to share the good news of what he does for us.
That's great to hear. You're excited about the possibility to expand into other communities in the area in the summers to come. Now, where were the summer camps located this year? Just right around Tyler?
Yes. So this year they were at four campuses. So before we had two sites. This year we had four middle school sites. So they were at Hubbard, Three Lakes, Bolter and Moore mm-hmm. this year. And so that was so exciting for us to be able to see all of those different children from all over and being able to have those kids there and just be able to expand our programs out that made it where it was geographically more convenient for families to get to.
And as far as expanding into other communities in the area in the summers to come, apparently not to be confused with the broader picture where you might be moving into places like Waco or Oklahoma. This is specifically about the summer camps. What are some of the communities that you hope to expand into maybe in coming years, or is it maybe a little early to tell, or what's the story on that?
I mean, we definitely have some that we are just kind of praying over and looking into and touching bases, like a Waco or a College Brown, Bryan Station, you know, just those different types of areas that we're kind of looking into. Look, definitely program places that already kind of have an established Boys and Girls Club there so that we can take all three of our programs. It wouldn't be a one or the other. It would be walking in and taking all of those. And so in that, with the way our ministry is set up, we need community partners in that. We need the school districts to be on board. And then we need the already established Boys and Girls programs to be on board. And mm-hmm. so we're just cultivating those relationships and just kind of going in, being led by the wisdom of Christ to just see where those go.
Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the Mentoring Alliance after school program, you have three campuses in Smith County, Bullard ISD, actually split between Smith and Cherokee County,
yes.
So you're getting down into that area a little bit. But as far as the other programs, are all of the kids from right around the Tyler Smith County area, or do you have children from maybe Gregg or Upshur or some adjoining counties and communities? And if not, do you welcome them to come and be part of what you do?
Absolutely, we do. So we don't necessarily have them right here just in droves of people coming in from those areas. It is typically the greater Tyler area of Tyler, White House, and Buller. But we welcome children from all other programs that if they want to get involved and have a way, especially in our summer camp programs, those are available to any and everyone. We always have, and during the summertime, grandparents who have grandkids that come in from all over, out of the state, and uh-huh. everywhere, and they sign their kids up to go to our summer camp programs. And so we're definitely touching lives beyond just East Texas, but with our new strategic plan and just rebranding, that mm-hmm. is definitely a part of what we want to do, is expand beyond just the greater Tyler area of East Texas.
You bet. Now, coming down close to the end of the show, still a few minutes left. Suzette Farr is with us this morning with Mentoring Alliance. I'm John Sims. And this is In Focus. Mentoring Alliance can be reached on the phone by 903-593-9211. And be sure and check that website, www.thementoringalliance.com. I know over the years you've had different types of special events and fundraisers.
Yes.
And with so much of that up in the air right now due to COVID-19, I was wondering what, if anything, you have planned maybe for this fall, or maybe I forget what time of the year it's normally done.
Yes. But
I think maybe you in the past you've had something in the fall as far as a big fundraising gala or something.
Yes,
like
Yes, exactly.
That.
So usually in the fall we would have our annual luncheons that we do, and then in the spring we have our golf tournament, and we usually actually in the fall in September, coming usually in these coming weeks, would be our Day for Kids programs. Now, of course, with the pandemic and just the amount of people that are usually engaged with that and the ever-changing in that, we're kind of rearranging some things. So right now we're looking at possibly moving our annual golf tournament to the fall, and potentially moving our annual luncheon actually into the early parts of the winter, potentially February in that, and then actually changing up our Day for Kids a little bit, and potentially creating that as a 5K run to get families and kids out okay. there and active. And so we're just looking into many different ways. But right now, one of the best ways that we're allowing partners and different people to come alongside us is to get involved in our monthly giving program, the Alliance, and just being able to give small gifts that roll up, but then also going to our site and helping to maybe sponsor a school or a particular summer camp site so that we can start providing providing scholarships and financial assistance to children.
Okay, and that covers part of where I was going next. How do you donate? How do you volunteer? Volunteering, of course, we've covered in large part already through talking about the mentoring program.
Yes.
And you talk about monthly giving, but just individual one-time-only donations, I know, are graciously accepted.
Absolutely.
You can go to the donation key on your website, on the website, I should say, to find out a little bit more about that. But again, lots going on with Mentoring Alliance. You can donate, you can volunteer, you can be a part of it. It's easy to get further information, again, by calling 903-593-9211 or going to the website, www.thementoringalliance.com. We are just about out of time, but Suzette, it's been great visiting with you.
Yes.
Again, in spite of the coronavirus, so much going on. You're just really kind of soldiering on, if you will, and trying to make it an even better opportunity for everybody involved. Suzette Farr with Mentoring Alliance, our guest this morning on In Focus. Suzette, thanks so much for coming in and getting us up to date.
Thank you for having us. It's such an opportunity to be here.
You bet. Suzette Farr, Mentoring Alliance, our guest this morning. I'm John Sims. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again next week on In Focus.